Well, we got a special guest today. Y'all know him. He's on our board, coming straight out of Waco, Texas. Good man, great friend. Why don't you stand on your feet and just give Pastor Cello Lozano a round of applause. God bless you, man.
Bring it.
Straight out of Waco. Okay. Well, take cover because I'm bringing heat. No. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Doing good? I want to say that we've had a move of God on this trip, especially these last 2 days. It's been watching God move. It's been amazing. It hasn't snowed, froze, or iced over. And if you know that every time that we've come to minister, it's froze, snowed, or iced over. Yep. And so the move of God is that it's not happening. So that's, God's like, oh, we'll give you grace and mercy this time. We were here, I forget what year it was. 1 year we came in our car was diesel, and we apparently didn't put enough DEF inside the car. And so What am I doing?
Oh. I was just telling you to adjust your phone. You were echoing a little.
Oh. Okay. My wife says I'm adjust respect. Anyway, so we were putting that DEF in, and we didn't put enough in, and the diesel actually gelled in the car. So we were getting ready to come to church, and we weren't going anywhere. They had to come get us. That's called not living in the north so much with cold. Everybody doing good?
Good.
I realize that you guys are a little upset about your team not being in the Super Bowl, maybe next year? Gonna swap out?
Switch out, yeah.
Okay. I could just imagine when Paul was preaching, man, all the audio problems that he was having, and Jesus, when he was on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, trying to get the lighting right and get the audio and feedback going. So I can understand and relate to their problems that they had as with audio as well. As he said, I'm Pastor Cello. If you've never heard, how many of you guys heard me share before, minister before? Sweet. Okay, I'll try not to put you to sleep again. Those of you are new, I pastor a church in Waco, Texas called Riverside Community Church. We planted that church. My wife and I launched that church in 2016. We'll be 10 years old this year. And so pray for my people because they're with us. We actually, I travel and speak and do things. And so this year we tried to do something different. We had, I brought my granddaughters with me. And so I'd like my wife and my granddaughters to stand up. You guys can meet them. Y'all can stand up and just let everybody look at y'all. They're beautiful young ladies. I did learn one lesson on this trip with granddaughters because, you know, they're the oldest of our granddaughters. So we have 12 grandkids, and these are the oldest granddaughters that we have. And I will just tell you, I went right back into youth ministry when I climbed in the van. And this road trip has been a one long youth ministry, summer camp, winter camp. Like, you put all the things in there, and it's been fun. And because I'm a grandfather to these young ladies, I have the hardest problem that I did not have when I was in youth ministry. In youth ministry, a student would come up and say, hey, Pastor Cello, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Nope, sorry. Love you. Jesus loves you. We're not doing that. Now it's like, hey, Popo, can we? Yeah, sure, let's go. Let's do it. We could do it, sure. You know, just don't give grandma the card, the debit card, the credit card, or any cash, and you'll be okay. I got a message I want to share with you guys this morning. It's called surrender. Say surrender. A lot of times, I think in our lives as believers, when we think about surrender, we have an idea of what it means to surrender or surrendering looks like. And so, I just want to kind of I know some of us probably knows what this is like, what it feels like, but I just wanted to kind of just share a little bit about that. Is that okay? All right. So if I hurt your feelings, step on your toes. If you need a life preserver, a hard hat, just go outside, walk out. I'm not going to say anything. I get it. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you, Father, that as I share, Father, that I hear your voice, not my voice. I thank you that they hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, Lord God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name, as your word goes forth, Father, that you cause us to grow, develop, and mature, Father, as believers. We thank you, Jesus, that our hearts are open to your word, sensitive to your spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So when I was, before I became a pastor, got into ministry, I was a police officer. So I was a police officer for 6.5 years. And that was my career choice. That was me going, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I would tell my wife all the time before I got saved, I know God. Me and God are tight. I'm good. Take your Jesus stuff over there. Take your church over there. I'm good. And then I had a counter one night while I was working, and I realized that I didn't really know God. I knew of God. And I had a what they call a come to Jesus moment, and it just turned my life around. And this is while I was working as a police officer. That was my career choice. And then, you know, when you realize and have an encounter with God, what I would consider a true encounter with God, things in your life starts to change. Do you agree? Yep. And so I had before that, I just had what I thought I thought I had a relationship with God. I was like, I know God. And then God was like, well, here, let me show you who I am. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know you. And so in this process of being a police officer, one of the things I realized straight off when I became a police officer was the level of authority that you have as a police officer with this little bitty gold, silver badge that you have on your breast. You just carry it wherever you have it, you have that on there, and they give you this little card. It's your license, right? It's your license to be a police officer, to be a peace officer in the state of Texas. And once they give you that badge, they give you that license, that card that says that you're a police officer. You have a gun and a badge, and then you're like, okay. But the interesting thing was, when I became a police officer, was not realizing the authority that you had having a badge and a license in your wallet and a gun. And then I realized the authority that you have without even people seeing the license. Then I realized having the authority without people even seeing the gun. Then I realized the authority of having no visible gun, no visible license, and no visible badge. What I realized as a police officer was that the power was invested to me by the state of Texas as a peace officer. So when I walked into situations, I could just be minding my own business, washing my car, out of the picnic, I was still had the authority of the state of Texas. Are you following me? And so what would happen is that anytime something would happen, if I was to intervene, which I found myself doing from time to time, I would intervene in situations, but I didn't intervene as Cello Lozano. I intervened as Officer Cello Lozano. Are y'all following me? Are y'all with me? And what happened was, as I began to know that, I realized, wow, that when I walked into a room or when I did something, I realized, I was like, well, I have the whole state of Texas backing me with a badge and a license and a gun that people don't even have to see. Are y'all with me? Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that the only way for me to operate in that authority and to operate in that capacity was that I had to surrender my rights as a civilian in order to be a police officer. Are y'all following me? And so when we think about surrendering and we think about authority, it really goes hand in hand a lot of times. But a lot of times we don't realize how close and tight-knit they're fit, fitted, right? And so when we think about surrender, in order for you to surrender, that means you have to surrender to an authority, right? To some sort of authority. And as a police officer, you know, I tell somebody to sit down, and they're like, well, who are you? I was like, well, I'm Officer Lozano. Well, let me see your badge. Okay, if you want to see it, but it's here, trust me. Let me see your license. It's here, trust me. Nobody ever wants to see your gun, though, except for the kids, the little boys. Oh, let me see your gun. And so when I got saved and I became a believer, I realized, I was like, oh, wow, when it says that you have all authority, when Jesus said all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, like, I now give it to you, and you can walk in that same authority. I was like, hey, I know this game. Right? I get this. I can walk in his authority. The problem I had was not walking in the authority. The problem I had was with submission. I had all the authority to walk because I was in Christ, but the humility, the submission to Christ is where I struggled. Anybody been there before? Nobody? Okay, I'll tell you my story then. And it kind of goes back to, Jesus over in Matthew. You don't have to turn there. Don't freak out, media team. I know this wasn't in my notes. But in Matthew 8, right around the first 1, maybe 12, somewhere in there. I think around 5, 10. I'm spitballing this because I can't remember exactly. But I think it's around 8 or 10. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, somewhere in there. And this is where Jesus, you know the story, because I'm going to share the story. And you can go, oh, yeah, yeah. Right. So this is where Jesus is coming along. He's walking. And the centurion comes over and asks for one of his servants, or I forget if it's a servant or somebody in his family to be healed. Right. And then Jesus responds. He says, I'm a man. And what is the centurion said? I'm a man under authority. Right. So I see and recognize authority. Are y'all with me? And then he says, so if you just tell him to be healed, I know he's going to be healed because I recognize the authority that you have. Are y'all following me? And then Jesus says what? I have not seen so much great faith in all of Israel. Right. And so this is what he's saying. So in order to surrender, you have to be submitted. So you cannot surrender without submission. Are y'all following me? So in order for surrender to be effective, we have to surrender our will. We have to give up some things in order for us to walk in the authority that's been given to us. Yes? No? Yeah. Okay. So when we look at that, right? So submission, this is the part that we don't like, right? Submission doesn't even start until you disagree.
Yep.
We're like, God, I really need you to do this for me. I've been praying and fasting and believing you for this thing, whatever it is, house, car, healing, you name it, finances, job, it don't matter. New dog, cat, whatever it is you're praying for, you know, get my wife right. But it doesn't matter. It's like whatever. I'm sorry, man, get my husband right. I said that wrong. Get my husband right. Right, whatever it is that we're praying, submission doesn't even come until we disagree. And we're praying and we're praying, we're asking God for these things. And God's like, well, I'll take care of that if you take care of you. And they're like, whoa, 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 hold on. That's not what I was asking about, God. I was asking about this. Are y'all with me? Are y'all following me, right? And so what happens is now we're unable to walk in the authority because we're unwilling to submit. Or should I say we're unwilling to surrender. Okay, that went over real well. Let me keep going. Honey, start the car. Get the kids in the van. So to define surrender, surrender means to yield to the power of, to control or possession of one another on compulsion, demand, to give up completely or agree, especially in favor of another. It says to give up oneself, to give up to another's power. Especially in a prisoner or a slave thought process or mentality. It says to give or to yield to the action of yielding of one's person, giving up the possession of something, especially in the realm of power and authority or the will of another. So to render means that you're submitting to somebody else's what? Will, someone else's authority. Right. And so when we think about surrender, we're just like, oh, I surrender, God. I lift my hands up. I worship you. And our posture and our outward is right, but our heart is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to surrender, God. You know, it's like the story I love telling about this little kid who's getting in trouble. And mom puts him in the corner and she says, you sit in that corner. He says, I don't want to sit in the corner. You sit in the corner. So he goes over and he sits in the corner and he says, I'm sitting out on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. This is us a lot of times in our relationship with God. I'm surrendering here, but not in here. Right? So that's what surrender means, right? Broken, listen to this. Broken means this, damaged or altered as of to break, such as having broken or being undone, being subject to a fracture. Example is a broken leg, a broken arm, not working properly, being irregular, interrupted, full of obstacles, violated by transgression, not kept or honored, a broken promise, discontinuous, interrupted, disrupted by change, made weak or to made weak, infirm, subdued, completely crushed, or sorrowful. That's what it means to be broken. Now, most people, when we think about surrender, we don't put broken in that scenario. But in order for you to surrender means you have to break your will. You have to break your attitude. But we think that as long as everything's going good, that we have surrendered. But you really don't surrender till you broke, right? How many of you heard that term? It said, I've gotten to the end of my rope. I can't take it no more. I'm done. Okay, now your will's starting to get broke. Are you following me? Right, and so a lot of times we don't associate surrender with submission. We don't associate surrender with being broke. But really, this is what God's talking about when he's saying, hey, I need you to surrender, right? So if you go over to Psalms chapter 51, verse 17, it says, forgive me. I'm sorry, it says, the sacrifice you desire, he's talking to God, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken spirit or repent, not reject a broken and repentant heart. So he's saying, when God is seeking for us, he's seeking for a broken heart. Well, what does that mean? That means a broken heart would be the same thing as what we're talking about. A broken will, a broken desire for our own will, our own desires. The things that we're longing after, right? Now, okay, I wasn't going to go there, but I am. This is not in your notes. I'm sorry. In Proverbs, okay, I won't go there. In Proverbs, it tells us, it says, God will give us the desires of our heart, right? But verse 3 or 4, before that, he says, if you do what I tell you to do, then I'll give you the desires of your heart if you trust in me. We leave out the top two, we left the top verse and the bottom verse out. We just like, he'll give us the desires of heart. No, if you're obedient and you trust me, and if you submit your will to my will, then you'll get with the desires of your heart. What we do is we're just like, I want the desires of my heart. And then we begin to act that way. And no, we're no longer in surrender. We're no longer in submission. We're just doing what we want to do. And so what we do, I'm telling you, because I've been there. What we do is we get our confessions out. We start saying our confessions. We start saying our prayers, where we're believing God for it. And there's no surrender to God. Hello. See, what we do is we want things our way so that we can have our way and we can be, everything's going good for us and people can look at us through the city, through the town, through the congregation and go, oh, they are favored. They are blessed and highly favored. But there's no surrender in the relationship. Okay, that went over real well. It says broken means our will, like the will of a horse, an untrained dog, or someone who is undisciplined. See, before we had all these cars, you used to have horses, but you couldn't have a horse that was a real good trained horse unless you broke the spirit of the horse. Some of us have dogs, and the dogs don't do anything we want because they're still free spirited. They just run, you know, you let them out of the, you open the door, and they just run out. That's like some believers. As soon as the door goes, they're just gone. What are you doing? Non-discipline. They're just out doing whatever, right? But what they would do is that they would call, what they would say is that you would have to break a horse. And what they would say, break a horse, they were saying, referring to you have to break the spirit of that horse because it's wild and free and it just wants to go everywhere. But it's in the breaking of their spirit that man is able to control them, right? James talks about you put a bit in a horse's mouth and you can control them very easy. Our problem is that we forget that the training and the breaking that goes before you put the bit in the horse's mouth. There's a breaking process. And the process that we've forgotten as believers, I feel, sometimes is the fact that we want to surrender God, we just don't want to surrender our will.
Yeah.
We want to surrender to God, we just don't want to surrender our desires, our dreams, our goals. Are y'all with me? And that's where the breaking comes. When it says, I don't desire a sacrifice. Actually, go back. Can you go back a couple of verses on that scripture? 14, I think. Yeah, it says, forgive me for shedding the blood, O God, who saves, then I will joyfully sing your forgiveness. Verse 15, unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You did not desire a sacrifice or I would offer you one. You did not want a burnt offering. What you desire, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken heart and repentant heart. Now, this Psalm 51, how many of y'all know about David, right? David was a man after whose heart? God's heart. But what did David do? Committed murder and adultery. The two things that we just kind of brush over in the church. And what we'd love to say, David had a man after God's own heart, right? God's, who said that? God said, he's, your heart is after mine. And we're like, I want a heart after God like David. God? And he says, well, you can't have it because you won't submit. You won't surrender. You won't let me break your will. Oh, that got ugly. Right? And the surrendering comes to saying, Lord, whatever it takes to me, for me to know you, that's what I want. And what we do is we have this thought process where we want the things that we see in Scripture, but we're unwilling to go through the things that we see in Scripture. Right? So when you read Psalm is basically, this is after he's done committed murder, put a contract out on somebody, right? Commits murder, takes a wife. Well, actually before that, takes somebody's wife, gets them pregnant, commits, has a husband killed, and then has the baby. Like this is, he's at his end's end, right? He's like, I have not sinned against anyone except for you, my God. But we don't take that approach. We're just like, Lord, forgive me for my mistakes. We're not mistakers, we're sinners. How think about confession. Like, when do we confess? I love that about Catholics. There's a lot of things I don't like about Catholics. I'm Catholic, so if you're Catholic here, you're with me. My mom said, I was born Catholic, I'll live Catholic, and I'll die Catholic. Even if I choose to do all the Protestant things. Okay. But one thing I love about Catholics is they have one thing down. That's confession. Bro, they know how to confess. And I think that's why they party so much. Yeah. Just saying, man. They just live that life. They're like, well, I'm going to confession on Sunday. I'm good. You know? But they have confession down to the point where they understand what it means to go to someone, whether it's a priest or anybody. Like, they'll go confess. Us as believers, as Protestant believers, we'd love to do everything except for confess. Yeah. And I'm saying that, like, if you want to have a heart after like David, then you have to what? Confess. I didn't sin against anybody except for you, God. Everything I did was against you. Okay, sounds good, right? So when we look at the historical context of what he's saying here in Psalms, he's basically, in a nutshell, he's literally saying, I'm undone. I surrender. I give up. And what happened to the baby? And he says, You're still God. I still messed up. Right? And then God's like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking at the murder. I'm not looking at the adultery. I'm not looking at all this. I'm looking at you as you're my son, Christ. When I see you, I see Christ. But the only way that you can get there is to surrender. You have to let, we have to allow our will and desires to be broken unto God's will. Are you with me? And I think sometimes we forget how much we don't surrender, how much we don't submit to God. Because remember, submission only happens when you disagree. I can't tell you how many times I run into believers and it's like, I said, how's this going? Oh, I'm believing God for this. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And God's like, I don't know what you're waiting on. You hadn't done what I asked you to do. That's why you can't see no manifestation of what you've been asking for. Right? Well, all the promises from God are yes and amen if you submit and surrender. Yeah. You can't just do what you want to do. I mean, you can, right? Because we have free will. But if you want to have the same heart that David had, then that means that we have to be subject to God's authority and submit to him, to his will, and surrender, right? Throw the white flag in, right? I give up. I quit. Right. So the whole idea of us when worshiping, when we throw our hands up, what we're saying is I surrender. And when the issue that we have in the church, I feel like today, is that we surrender here, but we don't surrender here. We're just like that little boy. I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And for us, we're like, I'm standing up on the outside, but I'm sitting down on the inside. I love you, Jesus. I'm not doing that. I'm not forgiving. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not walking in love, right? This is it's attitude. And here's the thing that's scary. This is one of the most scariest scriptures that I've ever read. And we love to say this. We say, God knows our heart. And that's a scary scripture for me. Because you'd read in Jeremiah, and it says, our heart is evil. Can be evil. You say, well, not if you're born again. I'll challenge that. Kick over a little, what do you call those? Holy cow there. If there was still not some deceit and evil in our hearts, then this is what the reason that you can see that it's still in there and it's working its process out. I'm not saying you're not born again. I'm not saying that you have a new Christ, but in our hearts and our desires, it's still being worked out. As Paul says, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Is because if that was not true, then why do we see divorces in the church? Why do we see church splits? Why do we see people doing all those things that the world does if there wasn't some deceit and evil in our hearts still? And it's the reason it's there is because we're unwilling to surrender that part of our heart. We're unwilling to surrender that piece of ourself. And so what happens is we start doing bad things, right? And what we do is we think drinking, smoking, cussing, adultery, all these things are the sin, but the sin is not the outward action. The sin is the inward heart posture, the attitude. So when God's looking at David, he's like, yeah, I'm not even worried about all that. Your heart is a problem. Right? And Jesus says, if you even look at a woman in lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. Okay, that went over real good. Let's keep going. So if you look over, when you look over, go over to Jude chapter 1. I say chapter 1 jokingly, right? It's only one chapter. Anyway, if you go over to Jude, there's some things that he says here right out the gate, right? This is what he says. He says, this letter is from Jude, a what?
Slave.
Of who?
Christ.
And a brother of James. I'm writing to all of you who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Christ. What does it say? It says, so this letter is from Jude, a what?
Slave
unto Christ. Now, this is where it gets real interesting. When you surrender and you submit to God's will, you literally become a slave unto Christ. What does it mean? In order to be a slave, you have to have a master. You have to have a Lord, right? And so Paul makes this reference in Scripture. He says, I am a bondservant unto Christ. And what he's referring to is this. He says, I've been set free, but I choose to be a slave anyway. Does that make sense? What we do is we like say, the Lord has set me free and I'm free indeed. But we have to choose to be under his submission. We have to choose to surrender. Now, there's good surrender and bad surrender. Good surrender is you going, Lord, I didn't mess up too many times. I'm done. You're in charge. Are you with me? Bad surrender is this, Lord, I surrender you, but I'm sometimes in charge. And this is where most believers live. Most of us live. Us. I'm not saying, like, most of us live here. You're in charge of everything except for these two things. These three things. These four things. And we have not fully become a slave unto Christ because he don't control every area of our life and heart. That's the challenge for us as believers. And what happens is we give him a little bit and we sit and stop and we stop growing because we're unwilling to surrender more of us to him. We're partial slaves, not whole slaves. So when Jude says, this is a letter from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. We know that he's completely submitted to God because it says that he's a slave. Scripture doesn't lie, right? So that means that he's 100% committed, 1,000 times percent committed to call himself a slave, a bondservant. He has completely surrendered to the will of God in his life. Yes, no? So for us to start crossing that bridge and become more surrendered than we were last year, more than we were yesterday, more than we were 30 minutes ago, an hour ago, we have to look at our heart and our lives and say, okay, in what area in my heart am I standing up against God? I'm surrendered on the outside, right? But is our heart and attitude surrendered to God? Have we completely submitted our will, our thoughts, our desires unto God? And that's the part that we struggle with, because we have the things that he's wanted us to do. We have the things that he's desiring for us to do. And I'm not saying that those are not God. I'm saying that he puts those in you, but in order for you to get there, you have to surrender some areas of your life. You don't just get to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And this is where we struggle as believers. So when we think about surrendering what that looks like for us as believers, we have to get to that mindset where Jude was. I'm a slave of God. If you go over to Romans chapter 1, verse 1, same thing starts off. This letter is from Paul. A what? A slave to Christ. That means he's completely surrendered. Like, and he even said, when you read the scriptures, Paul even talks about, I'm in chains. And sometimes he's referring to real chains, and sometimes he's talking about the symbolism, right? The metaphorically, like, I'm in chains. I'm a bondservant. Like, I'm a slave unto Christ. I mean, when you're a slave and you're giving your will to somebody, you're saying that it doesn't matter what I want to do, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Even if I disagree, that's submission. And that's the hardest part that we have, is submitting, right? So when I was a police officer, you know, you see the police, you see them and they're like, put your hands up. They put your hand, they're like, quit fighting, you know, I'll surrender, right? And what are they doing? They're resisting. And that, a lot of times that's what happens with us. In our wills, we're resisting what God has for us. And then we're wondering why God's not moving. It's because we're wrestling with God, right? Like we're literally fighting with God, right? So we're like tussling around and God touches our hip and we're like walking around with a limp. What happened to you? Well, I wrestled with God and lost. Like, what's wrong? Well, we had a rough night. Limping around. But here's the thing. Is that when you truly wrestle with God and you truly submit and surrender, then you walk different. Think about that. You think different. Your intentions are different. Normally, you surrender the things that you want to do and you just give it to God. Is this helping anybody this morning? So we talk about being a slave. Go over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 1 starts off the exact same way. This letter is from James. A what? A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's like, so when they say that they're a slave, they're saying in their letters, when they start their letters off, they're saying, I am completely sold out and surrendered to God's will in my life. Whether it's life, death, suffering, rejoicing, unicorns and glitter, or a life living like Job, I'm completely submitted to God. That's a hard place to go. Because when you truly submit, now whose will is it? It's God's will, not our will. Are y'all with me? Are y'all getting anything? Go over to Luke chapter 22, verse 42. So we all know this is real famous here, right? We all know this. It says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus, literally in the garden, is saying what? Is there any other way? How many of us said that? Father, is there any other way? Is there any other way? That's some struggle. Watch this. Even though Jesus knew what he was called to do, even though that he knew his purpose, even though he knew all these things, that all that he would endure and go through that would bring salvation unto earth, he's still in his mind, he's still in his flesh, in his own human will, was like, is there any other way? Nevertheless, I want your will and not mine. We love saying this, but we still do our own will. Lord, any other way? And then we go find out all the ways that we can make it work. And then we go, oh, that was God. Look what God did. No, that wasn't God. That was you making some phone calls. That was you sending some text messages. Right? And so what I'm saying is that my challenge to us is like, are we really surrendering to God? Or do we just think that we're surrendering to God? Are we really submitted to his will? Or do we just think that we're submitted to his will? That's hard, right? So you're like, man, what do you do with this? Like, where do we go? And that's the challenge for us, because God's desire for us is to have a relationship with him. Are you with me? But we can only have a relationship with him if we have dialogue, if we're reading our Bible, if we're having prayer time, if we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do that you do in a regular relationship. right? It's not setting up, it's not having a daily devotion set by an alarm. It's having a daily devotion set by relationship. Does that make sense? It's in our relationship. What areas of our life do we demand control in? Is it finances? Is it healing? Is it our emotions? Is it our relationships? Where do we demand control in our lives? This is probably an area that we need to submit to God. Yes, no, maybe so. I remember this was years ago. This is probably, oh my goodness, this was probably, 20 years ago. We were in a camp meeting, and man, it was a good Holy Ghost. Man, I was up at the front and went to the altar call, and I was just at the front just worshiping. And we were at a camp meeting, this minister comes over, and she lays hands on me, and you know, I'm just kind of laying on the floor, and I'm just kind of, oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And she whispers something in my ear, and I'm so glad they had the microphone because they recorded it, and I went back and I listened to it, and I still listen to it from time to time. And she said this to me. She says, you are going to have to walk out everything that you say that you believe. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Like literally, I got excited. I'm like, yes. I was excited. And then all the bad stuff started happening. Like literally, like it was like 10 years of just like, can I get a break, God? And every time I would think, the Spirit would just remind me, you're going to walk out everything that you say that you believe. Do I have to forgive them? Do I have to walk in love? All the stuff, right? And when I heard it, I got excited because I'm like, yes, blessings and prosperity and health and healing and all the good stuff, right? And I'm like, yes, let's go. And God's like, betrayal, hurt, all the things you're like, walk out everything that you say they believe. Corinthians 13, my favorite verse. Galatians, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Long suffering, self-control. And I'm like, wait a minute, time out. Like, I have to walk out everything I said I believe? I started questioning what I believe. I'm just being real. Like, man, do I really believe that I should bless my enemies? Come on. Lord Jesus. You really, really, really bless those that curse me. But true submission says, I have no problem doing that because that's what the master wants. True surrender says, I'm going to do this not because I totally disagree. I'm going to be honest with you right now. I love Jesus. Been following man for the last almost 40 years. And I'm going to tell you right now, I still disagree with that. I still disagree with blessing your enemies. I do. Do I do it? Absolutely, because I'm submitted to him. And submission doesn't take place until you what? Disagree. Do I walk in love? Absolutely. Do I want to all the time? Definitely not. Gotta walk in love. We gotta walk in love. We gotta walk in love. Gotta walk in love. My pastor used to tell me all the time, if I'd come to him and I'd be like, Pastor, and I'm pouring out my heart and I'm like, ugh. And he's like, Marcelo, how's your love walk, sir? Like the 3-year-old kid. I don't want to clean my room. I'm done. Right. And that's what God's saying is like, how much are we willing to surrender? Right. And so when you start literally surrendering to God and to his will and to what he wants for you, because he only wants the best for us, even when it looks like he's not for us. I have to tell my kids and my grandkids all the time. I tell them, I said, I know you don't like me right now. And I'm not against you. I'm actually for you. And I know it hurts and I know you don't like it, but this is going to be best for you. And that's exactly how God talks to us. I know you don't like it. I know it hurts. I know it's uncomfortable, but trust me. If I'm your Lord, this is going to be best for you. And we're like, I don't want to surrender yet. Right? We have to be willing. We have to be willing slaves to surrender to his will, not our own. Remember, it's God's word. I love this. It's God's word, God's will, and God's way. It's God's word, God's will, and God's way. The where we get stuck is we know God's word. It's the will part that we struggle with. Well, God's will, I don't know. Right? And then the way we just kind of go, yeah, it's working out for us. Surrendering means we must submit to his authority, not our own will, not our own authority. So what are we commanded to do? What are we commanded to do with our enemies? What are we commanded to do with people that have hurt and wronged us? What are we commanded to do with those individuals that curse us? Bless them. When I was a youth pastor, I did a message series one time. And so what I said was, I told my students in the service, I said, so if somebody hurts your feelings, if they offend you, if they upset you, if you find yourself sideways with them, I said, what you need to do is bless them. Go buy them a gift card. You know, just go give them a Wendy's gift card, a $5 gift card, you know, whatever. Just buy a gift card and give it to them and just bless them. And they're like, why would I do that? Because that's what the word says, is that you just bless them. If they make you mad, just bless them. I don't want to give them anything, just bless them. And so it's funny. So now all these years later, they said, if you get a gift card, somebody, you hurt somebody's feelings. When you get a gift card or a present, you're like, ooh, man, you done made somebody mad. You better go reconcile with them. You better get that fixed. Right, but the idea, the principle is that we're to be a blessing with those that hurt us, those that we find ourselves against, people that have wronged us. Like we are literally called to bless them. Scripture tells us we're to lay our lives down as a living sacrifice. We like laying our lives down, we just don't like the sacrifice. I'll do everything that God asked me to do as long as it lines up with my schedule and my time frame, and my will and my wants. But as soon as God's like, no, we're not doing that, you're like, what? Time out. I thought you were for me, God. What would our life look like if we were completely free and surrendered to God? What would your life look like? What would your family look like? What would your community look like? What would your job look like if you were just like, God, I'm just going to submit to you. I'm just going to do whatever it is you want me to do. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing. What are we going to do? What would our life look like? What would the church look like? What would the community look like? If each one of us, individual, just said, you know what? I'm just going to surrender to God, not just in my actions, but in my heart, in my attitude towards people and towards things. What would it look like if we stopped doing our will mixed with God's will? What we do is we do our will, and then we ask God to bless it instead of asking us, instead of saying, God, I'm going to do your will, I know it's blessed. Right? Because if God's doing it, it's already blessed. We don't have to ask for a blessing. Ooh, that was a tweetable thing right there. Right? If we're doing God's will, then we don't have to ask for his blessing because we're already doing his will. But if we're asking God the blessing, we probably should check if it's his will. And I'm not saying you can't ask for blessings. I'm just saying, like, it's a heart posture thing for us, right? Like, okay, let me do this. Let me do this. And then there's the nuance of us having a conversation when you're reading scripture over in Acts, right? You see it in different Acts. You see it in Matthew, right? Where the believers come together and they say, well, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit to make this decision. Right? So you're like, well, did you get anything? No. Did you get anything? No. Did you get anything? No. Okay, so collectively, we think this is the right thing. We believe that this is God's will, so we're going to move forward. Lord, would you bless us? Because we hadn't heard anything from you. Right? And then sometimes you'll have me talking with somebody, like, yeah, if you get one, to me, if somebody gives me a check in a group of five, like, if I got one person going, I don't know, I'm like, okay, hold on. Pump the brakes before we make a decision. Pump the brakes before we do something, because that means we're not 100%. Right? And that's the idea for us, is being surrendered to God. Like, there are things that we have done in the church, things that we've done in our family, things that we've done in our personal lives, that we're like, okay, we're going to do this. And then we get a check, like, we're not doing that. But we have all this stuff that we've done. It don't matter. If God ain't in it, I'm not doing it, right? It's what Moses said. I'm not going anywhere unless you're going. Sometimes we just like, Lord, come with us because we're going this way. This is what I'm doing. Lord, help me. Bless me. We're going to keep going, right? So what does that look like? What in our brokenness, in our hurts, in our will, what can we do? Father, go back to Psalms, right? What does he say? He says, forgive me. I want your will, not my will. Your desire is a broken spirit, a contrite heart. What does that mean? I need your will, not my will. You don't want offerings. You don't want sacrifice. You want obedience. And obedience means submission. Obedience means surrender. right? But what we do is we like to bring a sacrifice and not surrender. We like to bring sacrifice and not obedience. And I'm challenging you this morning, what areas in our life do we need to make adjustments so we can be more obedient and less sacrifice? Because this is what I've learned. When you're obedient, you usually don't have to sacrifice much, but there is some sacrifice. But when we want to do our own will, it usually requires a lot more sacrifice. And here's a scary part of the whole thing, right? And I'll wrap it up with this, is that Jesus was the final sacrifice. And we're still trying to sacrifice things. And we're like, he already did it all. We just don't want to submit to his will. We don't want to surrender to his authority. We don't want to surrender to his will in our life. And so we're in this constant struggle with the will of God in our life. And we're in this constant struggle with us surrendering. And so we find ourselves wrestling with God. Are y'all with me? Because we don't understand. Like, well, I have the authority of Christ. You do have the authority of Christ, but have you surrendered to his authority? That's the question. Have we surrendered to his will? Have we surrendered to what his desires are for us in our life? Or are we still like the little boy? I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen? So this is the thing, right? So Father, just forgive me for I'm doing my will. I want to do your will. Help me walk through this, Lord. I need the Spirit of God to help me, right? Because that's what the Spirit of God was. He sent so that he could be our helper. I need the Spirit of God to help me do your will in my life. Help me to surrender, God. Isn't the irony of that is that we have to go to God to ask to help to surrender? I'm unwilling to surrender. I need you to help me surrender. But that's really how full of ourselves we can be. Right? We're like, God, help me surrender to you because I'm not doing a very good job out of it. Right? And the more that we surrender, the more that we align ourselves with God and his will, the more that we surrender, the more that we submit to his authority, the easier our walk with God is. And when situations come, we've already made decisions that we don't have to make. We just walk it out. And that's what I've learned, man. So when I listen to that recording now, it says you're going to walk out everything that you believe. Now I'm just like, okay, this means it's a love walk. Oh, okay, this means forgiveness. Oh, okay, this means to submit. Oh, okay, this means to sacrifice. Oh, okay, this means to love. Oh, okay, this means I need discipline. Oh, right. Because now I'm just like, okay, whatever's coming at me, it's God's will. Not just me trying to do things, right? And you submit. And you submit your whole life unto God. And that this is where we have to come to ourselves, come to our place, right? And be like Paul, right? So what happened? Paul, I'm done. I'm wrapping up. The game's, I don't know what time the game is, but we'll make it, right? So Paul is doing, listen to this. Paul's doing everything that he believed is the will of God. He's doing everything that he believes is the will of God. Paul is doing everything that he believes is the will of God. And then Jesus is like, excuse me, bright light. What are you doing, sir? Yeah. I'm doing, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Right? He completely surrendered. Right? He's like, wait a minute. I thought I was doing your will, but it was actually my own religious will. And sometimes that's where we find ourselves. I'm doing God's will. I'm doing God's will. I'm doing God's will. And then when disruption comes, because we've been praying and seeking God wholeheartedly, and he's like, well, hold on. You need to make adjustment right here. And we fall off the horse. Because we think that we're doing God's will when actually we're just doing our own masked to look like it's his will. And that's the struggle that I believe that we as believers in the church struggle with. Right? And when I say the church, I'm saying the big C church. Like us in general, we struggle with that because we talk about surrender, we talk about submission. But if we really truly began to see submission and the surrendering to God, then I believe that we would see greater moves of God. There would be greater things that would happen because it wouldn't be about us. It would be about what God's doing, right? It's not click tags and shares. It's about what God's doing. Right? It's not how many followers you got or how many people are coming through your business. None of that. It's about, am I doing God's will? Right? And we seek first the kingdom of God and he'll add all the things to it. But when we're trying to seek the world, he can't add anything to it because we've already added it. Okay, I'm done. Man, I had a bunch, about 10 more thoughts came to my head and I heard my wife going in there.
No, I actually wasn't doing that.
Amen. So the prayer I believe for us, the invitation for us is this, is God, I need to know in my life where I have not surrendered to you. God, I need to know in my attitude where I have not surrendered to you. God, I need to know in my heart where I have not surrendered to you. And then watch the kicking and screaming start. Right? Because submission doesn't begin to take place until you disagree. And as soon as you disagree, because we hear it, you hear the Spirit of God, and you're like, cast that devil out. Spirit of God ministering to you, though, get behind me, Satan. Or somebody will come and tell you something like, no, you're not for me. You know, I love my wife, but she's my worst enemy. The other day we were at the house, and we were in the bedroom, and I love Mexican Cokes, the old bottle, glass bottle Mexican Cokes, man, those are my jam. And I've been trying to cut back on those, and I'm laying there, we're just watching some TV, laying in bed, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating pretzels and drinking water. And I'm just, in my mind, I'm going, man, a Coke would go so good with these right now. And my wife gets up, she don't say nothing, she says, she just walks out. And in my head, this is my prayer. I'm like, and not even really in my head, because I did say it verbally. I was like, God, please let her bring that Coke that's inside there. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. And because my wife is so submitted to the Spirit of God, she walked in with that Coke and popped it open. And I was like, I love a Holy Ghost-filled woman. And I love that she's so submitted and surrendered to God that she was able to bring that Coke. And I didn't even have to ask her. I said, God, please send your servant with that ice cold glass of Coca-Cola. And she brought it in there, and I was like, yes, Jesus, she hears your voice. But the hard part was that I really didn't need it, right? And sometimes that's how we are. We're asking God for things that we don't really need. And then when we get it, we're cursing God because we got the things that we got.
Yeah, so tell them what you told me.
What did I tell you?
You were like, woman, I'm trying to work on myself.
I'm trying to work on myself. What are you doing bringing this to me? Yeah. She goes, I just felt, I was like, you felt right. You absolutely was, we was connected. Like 33 something years, man. We're like, we're good. I was like, yes, thank you, Lord. Hot drink. I will say this. I did not finish the Coke. I did not finish it. It just went there and went flat. And I was most excited about that part. Y'all, if y'all knew how much I like Mexican Cokes, that is a huge win for me. So all that to say that if you don't discipline yourself, God doesn't have any problem disciplining you. Amen. I am done. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Y'all enjoy that? Good. Good stuff. Good stuff. I got a confession. I ate yesterday. First time all week. Gonna eat today too. Then I'm gonna get back on the fast Monday. Amen. We're gonna bless them as they go. They were a blessing to us. So we have that opportunity to return the favor. So if you got checks, you're making out your checks, make it out to Westview Church. You can go online and do it or what have you. Or you got cash, just go ahead and throw it in there as well. Ushers, you can bring her. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the gift of Pastor Solo and his wife and his family, Lord. And we just thank you that we're able to bless this upon them, Lord. We just know that you will multiply the seed that you have told us to sow, Lord, into his family. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Nope, you can't sit. Hey, you got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
give her 30 seconds. Hey, I just felt the Lord impressed that my husband should have shared this, but evidently he wasn't in the same Holy Spirit I was listening to. So, because this isn't what I say, this is something that he says. And I feel like God was telling me that somebody is supposed to start something, and I'm not sure what you were supposed to start. Maybe you're supposed to start the fast. Maybe you're supposed to start a business. Maybe you're supposed to start serving, or maybe you're supposed to become a member of this church and you're not a member. Maybe you've been wavering and thinking about it. And you keep asking God, show me. But he has shown you, and you won't listen. So this is for you, whoever that is. Could be me, by the way, because I'm supposed to start a business, and I hadn't done it. So, but this is what he said. What was the last, this is what he always says when he's preaching, what was the last thing that God asked you to do? Whatever it is that he asked you to do, you need to be doing that. Think about what it is that he asked you to do. Maybe he asked you to serve somewhere. Maybe he asked you to become a member of this church. Maybe he asked you to invite a coworker to come. Maybe he was asking you to witness to somebody at a store. I don't know what that is for you. For me, it was to start a business, a thrift store. And this is a long story. If you want to know about it, I'll tell you all about it because it's a long story. But the other thing is, have you done it yet? Whatever it was that God is asking you, have you done that yet? Because if you haven't done that yet, you're not going to move on to the next thing. If you're asking God, well, I want to go do this or I want to go do that, and God is keeping a pause on it, it's because you didn't do the first thing he asked you to do. So you need to go do that first, then he'll move you to the next thing. Okay? That was it. And I will tell you this. I saw this because he was actually just talking about a disruption. And this is notes. I couldn't even tell you what year this was. Oh, sorry, 23. It says, we're running with the best we've known at this time. You really need to bring a holy disruption to your, what is it called that you do when you go through the motions? You need to bring a holy disruption to that and stop doing the things that you're doing and checking off the boxes. Stop doing that. Do what God's asking you to do. And stop just doing it because we've always done it that way. Drop the mic.
Amen. Amen. Y'all get all that? If not, you can get back online and watch it again. That's right. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your holy word, and Lord, and that you are bringing a holy disruption into this church, into the lives of everyone here, Lord. And we just thank you for just being able to surrender ourselves to you and to your will wholeheartedly, Lord. And we just thank you for the discipline that you have placed in our lives, Lord, to be surrendered to you. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Wednesday night, 6:30.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.